The topic of damages, the mazik, and we establish that there's an argument whether if you damage somebody, the onus, completely not your fault, whether you're still chayav to pay for damages. If you, odds of a mazik, you yourself damage somebody, but it wasn't your fault, are you chayav to pay in that circumstance? Machlokas and Shonin, must machlokas and Shulchan Aruch in such circumstances. Okay. We'll put that back on the back burner for a bit, that machlokas, and we'll get back to it. Let's start with a shayla like this. Reuven was going shopping and he was looking for a place to park his car. He was not successful in finding such a spot. So he decided, you know what? It's a very hot day. Unlikely the police will be walking around at this time of the day in such weather. I'm going to double park, quickly go into the shop and come out. Mukubal. Okay. So he double parked. Shimon was riding his motorbike. And he did not notice that Reuven had double parked. He was going normal speeds for a motorbike to go. And he noticed the double parked car of Reuven too late. And he swerved, but he still smashed into Reuven's car, caused a huge dent, and also ruins his bike at the same time. So now we're in Vesti. Reuven is claiming for Shimon, and Shimon's claiming for Reuven. Reuven says, you owe me 10,000 shekels worth of damages to my car. And Shimon says, you owe me 20,000 shekels damage to my bike, motorbike. Yeah. So the question is, who do you relate to as being hired for the payments in such cases? Firstly, what type of damages are we talking about here? Is it someone's money damaging somebody? Is it somebody's animal damaging somebody? Is it somebody's fire damaging something? Or it's a person himself damaging somebody?
I know.
What?
Well, Shimon is Koho damaging Reuven. And what Reuven damaging him, maybe is
he's controlling.
Eric, there's a spot at the front, especially for you.
Maybe the car is a bore?
What happens here?
Reuven's car is not moving.
Shimon's bike smashed into Reuven's car, which was double parked. So what type of damage is Shimon doing to Reuven? And then first then we'll decide what type of damage is Reuven doing to Shimon. Shimon is riding the bike. He smashes into Reuven's car. What type of category damages it? Monetary, his money is damaging, his fire is damaging, his animals damaging, or he himself is damaging?
He himself.
It's a chuvas arosh that if you're riding a horse and you bump into somebody else's horse at the time you're riding and you damage the person's horse, it's called not your animal riding, but since you're directing the horse at the time when the damage takes place, it's called that you are damaging. So even though my bike caused the damage, I would never be able to make such a dent, even though I kicked the car. But it was my bike, and my bike is not me. No, but who was directing the bike at the time? It was a human being. So therefore, it's called the human being is causing damage. It's called Odom HaMazik. So Shimon is called Odom HaMazik. He is damaging Reuven's car. What is the category of Reuven doing to Shimon's bike? What type of damage is Reuven's double parked car doing to Shimon's bike? What category is that?
What are the choices again?
The choices are like this. His money is damaging. His fire is damaging. He dug a hole and his hole is causing damage, which he dug. Or he himself is damaging. Well, which category does
he? Dug a hole.
So it's like digging a hole. Yeah. Okay, so now let us first relate to Shimon. Is he negligent? Is he obligated to pay for the damage to Reuben's car? He's riding the bike, and he was double parked Reuben's car, and he swerved too late to get out of the way, and he damaged Reuben's car. Is him being an Ottoman Mazik trying to pay for the 10,000 shekels worth of damage to that car?
No. Reuben put it in Rishus HaRabim. It's like the case where the person tripped in Rishus HaRabim on the person's object.
Okay.
Hey, but we said last week the Kuli Alma, you have to have a certain amount of awareness.
Okay.
Yeah, he should be able to notice the car. If he's aware enough, and stop in time. Unless it was a sudden stop.
Okay, so let's read the first Maramokum, which will give you a basis to start thinking. The Mishnah and the Gemara says like this, in Chof Zayin, we mentioned it last week, we're going to repeat it again. Haminiach eskad b'rishus rabim. Let's just retranslate the words how they fit into our scenario. They're not the literal translation I'm going to do. Somebody leaves his car in rishus rabim. I'm calling the kad and the car the same thing. It's really a junk. Uba acha v'niskubo. He came along the motorbike, the guy on top, Bishavra, and he broke the car. He broke the cud. Potter, he doesn't have to pay for breaking the jug. In our case, breaking the car. Why? Says the Gemara. Hoki omi merov v'mishvei d'ravula. Says merov v'shem d'ravula. If he should aim dark and ship, they ought on this phone in Betrachim.
That might depend on
because
the
it's normal for people not to look where they're going.
The coach.
Since it's normal not to look where you're going. Normal policy. So therefore, he's not going to be obligated to pay when he bumps into the guy's car and smashes it up.
Well, that's when you're not allowed to put a car in
the
garage.
A double park. He's supposed to be double parked.
There's a difference between
that. Doesn't
mean
he's in the street.
No, when I say double parks, okay, I hope I'm not English American mistaken.
You mean illegal?
I mean that there's no parking space.
No, I thought yeah? it was
and he's parked next to it.
In the road.
Halfway blocking the whole road, yeah. There's a route to swerve, yeah, but if you don't swerve.
There's a difference between a jug and a car.
So the way I'm translating it, I'm saying you bump into the car. You smashed the car, yeah. So your butter, like you smashed the car, because it shouldn't be here. It should be here, the jug in the Rishus Rabban. The double parked car should not be here. The bike bumping into the car, release the bank because the people don't look where they're going.
There's a difference between the jug and a car.
It's not expected to look for cuts. Someone walking is not expected to look for cuts. Someone driving is expected to look for cars and hit part of it. The guy was in the car waiting to move. You gotta wait for him. I mean, maybe the guy is in the street because there's someone in front of him. When you're driving a car or a vehicle, you're obligated to be watching what's ahead of you. Unlike if you're walking, you're expected to be able to walk.
But we've got one saw that this whole logic over here is in the Mishnah, it's only talking about when you're walking, not when you're driving. Does everybody agree?
No, I would say if you're walking and the person, you know, you're also responsible where you're going. I mean, if you walk on top of into a person.
Supposed to be
but it's right, there's a difference between a jug and a car. You expect to have cars on the street, you don't expect to have a jug on the street.
Do you expect to have a double parked car?
No, so it's halfway in between. It's not exactly the same, it's not exactly the same.
A car went into a cut. Also,
right, you agree.
It's not the car, the car ran into a cot. If the cot was on a shishirabi, a little cot sitting up 6 inches off the ground, the motorbike would not be responsible.
Ah, so that was not to do with a car or person.
No, it's not the difference between car and person.
You say you hit the car, it's between the jug and the car. So what's the difference between the jug and the car? Jug, your potter, says the Mishnah in the Gemara. You're saying car? No, the car's not like a jug. Now you're going to be high. Why?
It's bigger, you'll see it.
Ah. But you're saying it's bigger.
Because you're supposed to be looking out.
Because there are supposed to be cars on the road.
Big things you're supposed to spot. Small things are not expected necessarily to spot. Yeah? Which, if we were here last week, we came up with such a chiddush from the Rishonim. Yeah? So therefore, poshut. Big car! big that's a I can't expect I didn't know it's thrown in there, didn't notice it. Jug on the floor, you can say small, yeah. A car? Want to get up? Not paying because I didn't expect to see it.
If someone left a large, expensive glass in the field, and your person was just a robin, someone else was walking and tripped on it and broke it, so we would also say putter. If the person was negligent in putting it there. So even if he could see it, the first person was still Poshea.
If the release is that you're supposed to, is, because I wasn't expected to see it, and the same big things you do see, then you don't have your...
Right. But if we say the release is because of Poshea, the first guy, then...
It's not Poshea, because everyone will see. I'm not worried that people are bumping to me, because everyone will see. It's Poshea, I'm negligent in respect to the police, yeah, that I'm doing something naughty, correct? But... someone's going to damage me! People will see me and get move out of the way. That's what you're telling me.
He did that to see the car, but he didn't realize it was the same, right? You're always the person who hits behind, always responsible. By law, that's by law. You know why? Law works differently.
Yeah, if it's according, if they say, well, it depends every scenario, then the court system will be in a mess, yeah? They have to make laws, the secular system makes laws, and this is from the foundations. This is written in all their books. We make laws. Even when, particular scenarios, would you think that the law is being unjust, but we still make laws in order that the general law is a good book. Yes, we call them a good local book in the Gemara.
The Gemara as well.
Yeah. Okay. Let's now look at another Gemara and see whether we're going to have more problems. Hoya Bal Hakoya Rishon. We've got a person who's carrying a big, long pole beam, a beam, on his back. Yeah, obviously sticking out because it's big and long. The Bal Chovizako, and behind him is somebody carrying a barrel of wine, let's say. Nishra Chovis Bakura. What happened? The barrel got broken from the beam. So here, secular law says, well, it's your fault because you're behind, yes? But Halacha says, no, Potter, in this case, Potter Baal HaKor, the current, the one carrying beam is Tucker Potter. But in Ahmed Baal HaKor, if the one carrying the beam stopped, and by stopping, the one carrying the barrel behind went into the beam and smashed his own barrel. So you get the picture, he's standing still with this long beam, and he sits standing still, and the barrel, the person carrying the barrel, goes into that beam behind him and gets broken. Then Baal HaKorah is going to be chayev, then the one carrying the beam is going to be obligated to pay for that breakage of the barrel.
And then he stops.
Yeah, they're both walking, and then he stops, and the person goes, carries on.
He sees it, but he just doesn't think he's going to stop. That's why.
Why should he do so? He's stopping.
He shouldn't stop.
They're not allowed to stop. Carrying heavy beam, he's never allowed to stop because there might be someone behind him carrying a
barrel.
Not
allowed to stop. Stop. If you have a reason, good reason to stop, that's fine. But if it's to stop to take a rest in the middle of the street, you're allowed to do that. If you do that, then you're negligent. So the law goes further and says, if you do that, you have to give the warning. If you don't give a warning, then you're going to be negligent. So on the Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish says, like this. I want to compare the two. I want to compare another case to this. Stay poros b'rishus harabim. Let me compare a similar case. You've got two cows in rishus harabim. Echad rabutza v'echad mahalachas. One sitting on the ground in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim and one walking towards him. If the one sitting on the ground doesn't like the one walking and decides to give him a kick, okay, you're not going to walk over me, and he kicks him to stop him walking over him and damages the one walking, then chayevis. The one sitting on the ground who kicks the one walking is chayev to pay. The owner of that one is chayev to pay. But the implication of that, says Reish Lakish, is Huska Bameleh, if he doesn't kick him, he just trips him up. He's potter. Says Reish Lakish, I don't understand. The Mishnah says if the one carrying the beam stops and the barrel guy goes into him, there's no active action of the one carrying the beam, but he's just passive and he breaks the barrel in a passive state, he's chayev. It says to his sockets, but the Gemara, we bring a case where an animal, in order to be chayev when damaging another animal, is only going to be chayev if he's active in causing damage. He kicks him. If he just stops and trips him up, then he's potter. What's the difference? The Mishnah says if he's passive, he's still chayev. In the case of the Gemara, only if you're active and causing the damage of chayev. You just trip him up, you're going to be potter. What's the difference, says Reish Lakish?
The Mishnah is there's been a change. He was walking, now he's not. The car was stationary, he's still stationary. He's not changed his state.
So?
The difference is one's a cow, one's a person.
So then what's the Gemara asking? So what does Gemara answer? Gemara gives an answer. One's a cow, one's a person. What is the answer? Very interesting answer. Masisim, the reason why you're chayev in the Mishnah, even though you're passive, the posko le'ukha shodra, because you're holding your beam in a way that there's no way to go around it. You're not holding it like my original picture, like this, that's going backwards, that enables you to swerve round him if you could. You're not doing that. You're holding it this way, so that there's no way to swerve round him to avoid the beam. You're not giving him the opportunity to avoid you. So therefore the guy in the beam who blocks the whole resistance of him and doesn't allow a swerve is going to be obligated to pay for the breakage of the barrel. Whereas with the animal, the animal's not blocking the whole resistance of him. He could have swerved out of the way and not trip over him. So then, if you can swerve, you're going to be potter. So the cloud we learn out from this tomorrow, if you can swerve, then you're going to be potter for damaging the guy behind you. And if you can't swerve because he blocks the whole path, then you're going to be tied for the damaging the person behind you. Now, question is, that means if you can swerve and you don't swerve and you damage the person in front of you, who's going to be obligated to pay?
The person who could have swerved.
If you could swerve, listen to the question. The opposite scenario of the Gemara. If you can swerve and you don't swerve and you damage the person in front of you, who's going to be responsible?
You.
You who caused the damage because you could have swerved. Because you say whenever you from the Glock Gemara, whenever you can swerve, you have to swerve. And if you don't, then you're negligent. So therefore, if you can swerve, you don't swerve, and you damage the person in front of you, you're going to be fired. That's what comes out from the Gemara. So now I've got a question. Before we said you're walking in Rosh Hashanah and you fall down and break the cut, you break the barrel. Oh, you're potter. Why? Because you're not supposed to look where you're going. Now, can you swerve out of the way of the jug? Is the jug blocking the whole Rishon Sarabim? Is the jug blocking the whole Rishon Sarabim in such a case? How big a jug are we talking about? Very small jug. Yeah, very small jug, isn't it? You could swerve out of the way. I would say, even though you could swerve out of the way, and you don't and you damage it, you're potter because you're not supposed to look where you're going. Here we're saying that if you can swerve and you don't swerve and you damage the guy in front of you, then you're fired to pay. Why? What happens to the klal? You're not supposed to look where you're going. What happened to that klal?
This time around you can see. Nothing but a gun, now you can see. You're expected to be able to see.
So we have now a suggestion over here. Oh, I've got simple terrace. What's the simple terrace? That if it's small, then it doesn't matter if you can swerve or not. The halacha is, if you damage the person in front of you and it's small, what's the halacha? Even if you can swerve, what's the halacha? You're going to be potter. If it's big, then it depends whether you can swerve or not. That's the suggestion. Let's now look at the Bnei Yeshua. And now the Bnei Yeshua opens up the whole shaila on our base of life. You look at number three, the Bnei Yeshua says like this. We see the Ezer Sefer Lachalik Bein Tzakala Shuhu Lamata Miraglov Bein Tzakala Shuhu Lamala Menem. I saw in some sefer, I can't remember what sefer is, that came up with some sort of chilek between something that's on the ground that you put small, you can't see, and something which is in front of your eyes, and therefore big things in front of your eyes, then you're going to be climbed if you can swear. Small things which you can't see on the floor, then you're going to be potter even if you can't swear. I saw someone write such in the sefer, yeah, like we're all suggesting over here. I saw that. What does he say? It's such an answer. Finas dati nira the hard on ein zake. He says that I was standing in a tochet kotel. This peshat is tochet. No such thing as the difference between big and small. No such thing between big and small. Ein zake is going to drop him. It's got nothing to do with being small. So what is it to do? Finas dati nira the hard on the el. That we say, ain't darker. The odds on this burning with Jochen. That person doesn't look where he's going. What's the shot? It's not because it's small. Haina Mashum to give him shame with Shuts the Shum Odom. We're near Tobin to call up Mishum Sarabi. Since there's no allowed, a person's not allowed to leave something blocking the Mishum Sarabi. Mishum Sarabi is not meant to put things to block it. Mela, no, he treated the Odom, the iron with Jochen, the smart arts of the collar. Therefore, if you're negligent in putting something in the Rosh Hashanah that shouldn't be there, then other people are not responsible to look after and not damaging you. They're not responsible for damaging you. Given no shielding, because it's not normal for somebody to have such an object in that place. It's not allowed, it's not expected, it's illegal to have such an object in that place. So therefore the person who goes into you are not expected to think about you being there. And therefore, if I damage you, I'm released. I'm a hawker shoots, but they ought to lay with shoots other muscle. But here, with the barrel and the beam, it's normal for people to walk in with shoots or oven. The palm shows in the cut. And sometimes they stop. Sometimes they stop for a rest. It's a normal scenario. It's a loud scenario. It's a normal thing to do when you're walking with shoots or oven. To walk and then stop a little bit. Walk and then stop. In case I stop it. Then the person goes into the back of him. He's now going to be negligent because he's supposed to be looking for this type of activity going on. So now, what do we learn from the Bnei Yeshua? I want you to explain to me, what is the Bnei Yeshua saying is the release clause of Ein Darkas Shabbat ultimately spoken with Jochen? When do you have a patur of damaging the person in front of you because I wasn't look where I was going? When do you have such a patur?
It's not expected to see it. It's not expected to be there. You have to believe it. It's negligence.
Whenever it's not expected to be in front of in that position. Not normal to be in there. So therefore, you're not going to be fired for any damages due to, I didn't see.
It's supposed to be there.
Now, let me ask you. Is the car, in the case of our case, is the car supposed to be there, allowed to be there, or not?
It's not allowed to, but it is the derech in some places. It is.
Is it allowed to be there? Absolutely. And is it normal to be there? What is the car? Let me ask you like this. If he's allowed to be there, then if I go into him, I'm going to be responsible. If he's not allowed to be there, and I go into him, then I'm not responsible, according to what we're saying for today.
Which we said derech, we didn't say allowed.
So therefore, I'm asking over here. Is the case of the car a case of reshus? And therefore, I'm responsible going into it. Or the case of slow reshus, and therefore, I'm not responsible going into it. What's the case of the car? Reshus or slow reshus?
It's not allowed to be there, full stop. Unless he's driving and there's an obstacle in his way.
If you're going in this lane,
way,
it's over here, that's not allowed. That's
no,
not
only if there's an obstacle in his way,
it's
allowed
lane,
to stop there.
He's not allowed to stop there,
full stop, unless he is forced to, against his will. That's the law. He's not allowed to be there.
It's his lane. It's his lane.
Yeah, that's moving. That's not stopped. They're not allowed to stop there.
Nothing to do with swerving or not swerving. You're saying you can swerve. But if he's not allowed to be there, and I could swerve, I'm going to be
released.
But if he's allowed to be there, and I could swerve,
then I'm going to be flagged.
Reshus or slow reshus in the scenario of this double parking car?
It's slow reshus.
This side of him is slow reshus. Oh, never mind.
Stop there.
If you ask the policeman, he'll say slow reshus.
Somebody who represents the reshus side, or anyone who says it's reshus over here, explain why it's reshus.
The Pnei Yehoshua says sometimes people stop. This car is stopped.
Are you allowed to stop in the case of the Yeshua? Carrying a beam, are you allowed to stop according
to the
Takura?
The owner says,
the Takura, are you allowed to stop with your beam?
If he's in the car, he's still allowed to stand there.
I
give
the
word of authority
here.
The question is, once you reach the car.
Bad excuses for the way they drive. It's obvious to me.
Eric found out why they're all on that side, but they do it.
They're trying to excuse themselves.
Are you always? Oh, come on this side.
He's English, so he's obviously driving.
I don't have a license.
Okay. So that's the question over here. On the one hand, it's shalom reshus, you could say. Why? Because
illegal.
It's illegal. It's not something you're supposed to do. On the other hand, the way it's reshus, why? Because
it's his designated lane. He's allowed. He has.
Is there a car on the road?
If he was inside, legally he was allowed to be there. Now the question is if he's inside or not, but his car's allowed
to be driving. His car gets stalled. His car gets stalled, he's allowed to be there.
So you have scenarios where he can be there, you're saying, even according to the folk, when he's stalled the car and he's in the car.
There's a traffic jam.
If he's in the car, he's allowed to be there. But he's not in the car.
He's not allowed to stop there. It's not right.
I'm looking for something more than that.
I think he's with a shushi or not.
Ah, now something says
it. Reshush and not reshush, the Ben Yeshua says, is relevant because it makes it shushi or not shushi.
Ah, very good. So therefore, so how do you define reshush and low reshush according to what you're saying?
Well, what's called reshush? If it's there, expected.
Well, it's normal thing for something to occur or not normal.
Whether it's legal or illegal, but whether it's normal or not normal.
Now, either the shots could fit into the Pnei Yeshua's lashon. How am I going to prove that the release clause is because of law, legal or illegal, or the release clause is because what you expect could happen because it's white people break the law in this fashion? Now, how do I define what the shush and low shush? From the Pnei Yeshua, I got a few words there, but something I can pinpoint that I can define that this reshus means this way or reshus means that way. So let's now go to a Gemara and Baba Kama later on in some of the base.
He's not allowed to put the shabbat.
No, more than that. There's no concept of an animal not knowing where he's going. For a human being, there's something that gets in the way called thinking about other matters. Yes? So therefore, there's no such thing by an animal. That is what most people say. Okay? So the Gemara God will come and son of face on face. You tell me whether I got good right from here. I think I have got good right. But I'm sure from past experience that you're going to have people argue with me. Okay. The shopkeeper left out a candle outside. Flame, open flame. And that flame caused damage. Kevini Chayv. He's going to be Chayv if his fire, which he created, causes damage. What happens if somebody puts his sukkah outside his house? He builds his sukkah outside his house in the Rishus HaRabim. And it causes damage to somebody. He's also going to be hired. Because the Issa Mishami, because Eino shows the sukkah, but Pesach and Yimsen, Bachad. What's going on over here? Why if somebody puts a sukkah outside, which halakhically he's allowed to, and that's where he can, and it's the only place he does, he's supposed to put it outside, he's allowed to, he's got permission, according to the chok, according to halakha, he's allowed to build the sukkah over there. But if he does, it causes damage, he's going to be chayv. Why? Because even though it's reshus, so somebody damages it, it's still going to be chayv. Because even although, if you ask, can I put my sukkah over there? The law, the halacha says you're allowed to put your sukkah over there. But it doesn't mean that you're not taking chances. You know you're allowed to put your sukkah over there, but you allow it, but if it causes damage, you're still going to pay. So what do we see from this halacha, which is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch? We see that even when you have permission according to the law, according to halacha, according to the law, you have permission to put something in Rishus HaRabim. You have Rishus, and somebody goes into you and gets damaged from it. Do you have to pay for the damage, even though you had permission to put that object in Rishus HaRabim? What does the Gemara say? You have permission to put it in Rishus HaRabim. According to halacha and the law of Machlok, you're allowed to put it in Rishus HaRabim. And it causes damage. Are you chayav to pay? You are chayav to pay. So therefore we see, even though you have halachic rishus to put something in rishus harabim, that doesn't release you for any damages that happen to it.
That doesn't prove the other way around.
So what do we see from here? What do we see? We've got a rishus in one place that says it releases you from damages. And we've got a reshus which says you're still chayv for damages.
Don't say it releases you from
damages. In the Gemara, in Lamed Aleph on the base. Lamed Aleph on the base. Over there, that's how the Pesachim loves it. So therefore, we've got one Gemara says reshus releases you from damages. We've got another Gemara says, even though it's Dambi Rishus and Rishus Rabin, you still have to pay for damages. So what do we see? The definitions of Rishus are different, obviously, from one place to the other. If the place where you say you're still chived for the damages, even though it's Rishus, the word Rishus means over there, according to the Chog, according to Halacha, you've got permission, but you're still chived for damages, then the word of Rishus which releases you from damages can't be Chok and Law, because that doesn't release you from damages. So what does the word Rishus that releases you from damages then mean? Does it translate? It can't be Law and Chok, because even as Law and Chok, you're still chayv for damages. So what does the word Rishus which releases you from damages?
You want to say means never.
So therefore, we're left with the other interpretation. The Rishus means like the natural words that the Pei Yeshua is leading to, if you read it, is that you expect it, a scenario to be there, that you're supposed to watch out for it. Rishus means not that halacha and law allows you to be over there. Rishus means that it's something which is, you can think and already expect or even think that maybe there, then you're supposed to protect from damaging such a person's shoes. If it's shiach that such a law exists, then you're supposed to look and not cause any damage to such a person.
Alternatively, he's saying that if you do something that's without Rishus, then you're chayiv. And also, even if you had rishus, if it's a derech at someone's document, you're also chayiv. Meaning, either or can make you chayiv.
So you want to say you need both?
Yeah, and which fits in with the Yeshua, who says both.
Well, that's the only type of answer that I'm prepared to accept as a maybe. I haven't got absolute proof. Yes. Did anyone hear? Everyone hear the cheshbon? We see that rishus, which means chok and law, does not release you from damages from this Gemara over here later on in some of those. So therefore, a rishus which we know does release you from damages if you haven't committed rishus, and it to put it there in rishus rabbi, it releases you. It can't mean chok and law. What does it mean? So I'm saying it means, doesn't mean according to the law, according to the chok, you can put it there. It means something which people do, something that is. People naturally do, and something which can be expected that people can do, even though it's against the law, and therefore, since it's something which can be pre-thought about, then you're supposed to protect yourself, and you're supposed to be careful not to cause damages. The nafgamin is our case. The car is against the law, and against halacha to park it probably in such a place. Yeah. But, something which people do the whole time. As we have Hodas Baldin from many members of the Shira today. Double barking, yeah? So therefore, if you say the release clause is not law, which is definitely not, and we're saying the release clause is only something which can be expected, even though it's against the law, then in such a case, if you bump into the car, who's going to be hired?
The motorcycle.
Unless you're going to say, I haven't got proof. In order to release, you have to have both. You have to have allowed according to the law to be there, according to Allah, you have to be there, and it has to be normal, then you're right, then I haven't got absolute proof.
I have a question.
Yes.
Says here, when you put this, for someone who puts the sukkah outside, who's that?
You want to put the sukkah.
How do we know it means that?
Hutzak means gets damaged on it. Now.
So how do you know that there isn't a chiluk between the local law and the halacha? In other words, in the first case, the local law and the halacha both say, it's, you know, you've got rishus. In the second case, halacha says if you build a sukkah there, it's a kosher sukkah. But the law says you're not supposed to have
no,
it there.
Because we're talking about matzav where there's no such thing as a secular law in respect to halacha over here. We're talking about the Gemara and halacha where there's no such concept of secular law.
Well, maybe the halacha doesn't allow you to put it there.
No, the halacha says you're allowed to put the sukkah over there. It's rishus, it's called rishus because the halacha. So it must be whether it's expected or not expected. Okay? The only question on that, maybe I haven't got absolute proof, maybe you need to have both. That's the question. Yeah? What's Matzis going to say? He's a bit further away. So you have to speak louder today.
I'm gathering that somebody ran into a car.
So you came late, so I didn't realize that.
That's why I've been so quiet today.
Let me repeat the case before we give the final sum. Reuven needed to find a parking space, he couldn't. He was shopping, he couldn't, so he double parked. Double parked, you know, means he's in the middle of the street. Come on.
Yeah.
And he goes running into the shop to do as quickly as possible his shopping. Meanwhile, Shimon's behind on his motorbike and looks at left that there's a double parked car over there. Only at the last moment he realizes he swerves out of the way, but it's not enough, and he smashes into the car, causes 10,000 shekels worth of damage to the car, and he damages his bike. He's totally wiped out, 20,000 shekels fame. Yeah, so they're each claiming each other. Your car damaged my bike. No, your bike damaged my car. So now we're saying over here, a concept we're seeing over here, if that's what I want to say, is that if, even though it's against the law, but something that's suspected that could be there, because people do that to double park, then the person who goes behind has to sit there, has to be careful, and if there's room to move out of the way, which there was, he's supposed to move out of the way and he doesn't, he damages, then he's going to be obligated to pay for the damage, and therefore the bike will be obligated to pay for the damages of the car. The only question is, maybe you need both. Maybe you need to be a good according to halacha, the law, and also be expected to be there. Yeah. So, yes?
I'm speaking from the perspective of the United States now, because I don't know what it's like here. There's two reasons why you might be there in accordance with the law, okay? First is, like this gentleman said, there's nothing wrong with your car being parked there. There's something wrong with you not being in the car while it's parked there. The second thing is, the United States is a concept called last clear chance. Let's say I go through a red light. I'm clearly don't have the right of way. But you're 100 feet away, and you still go, and we get into an accident. You can be held responsible because you had enough time to realize, oh, this is a problem here. So, clearly, a motorcyclist had the last clear chance here, because the car was standing still.
Okay.
So, for those two reasons, I would say that the motorcyclist is responsible.
Yeah, so you agree. We have an agreement from Mutters. Okay, very good. So, the bottom line... In the base of Baskins was the motorcycle responsible for paying for the damage. For two reasons. One is what, according to what I suggested with the Bnei Yeshua, was that Rishus means, that doesn't mean law, it means to do what people do and what people don't do. People do this, and so you have to be careful. Another thing is like you're saying a story even according to the law. You're saying that the law says you're not allowed to double park. Not because the actual element of having a stationary car over there is a danger to society and therefore you're damaging yourself. No, the reason is because we don't want you to be out of the car in that scenario. So the actual element of the car being stationary in that position, if you would be inside at the time when the bike's there, then everyone will agree that even according to the law, then the bike would be responsible for the damages caused at that time. Because you did nothing against the law in such a case. So therefore, what does it make a difference, Legabi, this element, whether you're in the car at the time when the bike hits it or not, in respect to the actual damages that takes place? Why should it make a difference? So there's a great sorrow, even without what I'm saying, the Bnei Yeshua, to say that here, it wouldn't, the fact is against the law, it's like saying, yes, this person doesn't declare his taxes, so therefore the person who bumped into his car is going to be released. Because, yes, he's naughty, but it's nothing to do with the damages. So therefore, the person who's riding the bike is responsible for paying for it. Agav, you want to see the Rashi on Daf of Zion on the base, there I've got a clear eye, like I'm saying. You want to see it on the Gemara over there. There's Mamish Lashon, like Rashi, like I'm saying in the Bishop. We haven't got time to finish. Okay. Let's move on to the next slide. This is a shayla where everybody is right and everybody is asking how do we get who's responsible. Okay, so we have Reuven. Always Reuven. Start the story always with Reuven. Reuven's making Sheva Brachos. Reuven's making Sheva Brachos in his house on Shabbos, and he orders from the bakery 150 of these little lachmanias, these little chalavos. And they say, look, and he pays by credit card, and he says, where do you want me to deliver it? To this address. Deliver it to my house. If I'm not in, put it outside the door. Okay. So they come and they deliver it and they put it outside the door. Reuven has a neighbor and it's opposite him, called Shimon. What does Shimon do? He is a Baal Chesed. He runs a gemach. What type of gemach? A gemach for food. You're supposed to deliver food by him, and he gives them out to Sadaka. So that Friday, he opened his door and he saw a whole boxes of challah lined up, lining from his door to his opposite neighbor's door in the line. So he said, oh, that's the terrace by Gemma. You don't actually ring the door and lock the door to sell the best. Just leave the four outside. Someone's kindly donated fresh rolls. So there's one going to do it. Perfect. There's a yeshiva down the road. I'm going to phone them up. If they need it for Shabbos. He phones up and said, yes, we'll love color rolls for Shabbos. We normally have just red. Here's a great surprise for the Bochum. So they send off the color rolls to the Bochum. To yeshiva. Reuben comes back from his late shopping and organizing and says, where's the colors? Where's the colors? Where's the colors? Yeah? Phones up, phones up. No one's in, the shop's closed to it. No, we had to do without colours. Bounce out afterwards, they did deliver it. What happened? Ah! Started speaking to his neighbour, Shiva! Everything now is revealed. Who has to take the loss over here? Is it, firstly, we've got many options. Is it the shopkeeper for putting the he has to accept the loss because he put the bread, the challah rolls in a fashion where it's confusing in a line from one door to the other door. Is it Shimon because you didn't say proper instructions and therefore Reuven because you didn't say proper instructions where to put the challahs outside the door? There's a gemara opposite, you should maybe have thought about it. Or is it Shimon who took the challah rolls and gave it over to something to eat? He stole those up challah rolls, so to speak. Or is it yeshiva who ate the challah rolls? Who has to pay in such a situation? Okay, so we're running out of time. And I'll just say like this. We learned there's a machlokus, as I said at the beginning of the shir, there's a machlokus between the Ramban and Tosis, and therefore the Rosh Machaber and the Ramah last week we learned, where if somebody damaged completely the onus is chayv or not. Tosis says, if it's the onus, so you damage something, you're potter. The Ramban says you're chayv. I'm going to shuk and the Ramah, what are you passing like? Okay, that's my first question tonight in this talk. Is, let's talk about Shimon and the Bochwin. Are they the onus or not the onus by taking those challah rolls?
Bochwin are definitely onus gomer.
The Bochwin are onus. What about Shimon, the Gemach person? Is he an onus?
I think he's probably onus. He's getting food deliveries all day long, every day. I'm sure it's not the first time he had food at one of the other guys. But if it happens every day,
that's what happens. That's the normal thing.
It doesn't matter.
If it's something of such value, then for sure he needs to check.
I have no right to expect that everybody's going to know that
the sign says Gemach. I'm sure it's most places.
Okay, so we'll leave off with the lotion of the Tosis and the Ramban inside. Abba Gavzele El, Mabin Onus Korops about the Mazik, Onus Gomo, the Rabbi Rahman. If it's Onus Gomo, they're not Chayt, says Tosis. And the Ramban says like this. The release clause is only if she'adam mazik b'shem b'shia denizik potter behem. You're only going to be potter from damages. Onus is not good enough. When are you potter for damages? Only if the one who got damaged caused his own damage. He brought the damage upon himself. Then you're going to be released from the damage. Now, I've got enough time, I think, to finish this off. He says like this. According to the Ramban, to say the Bochrim are onus, let's talk about the Bochrim. Onus is not good enough. Says the Ramban. Says the Shulchan Aruch, onus is not good enough. I pass the night the Ramban. So therefore, why not mechayev the Bochrim according to the Ramban?
Because someone was Pusheya before that.
No one damaged. Who's the one that actually damaged that?
Then Ramban says Shia would still be a problem.
Who's the one who damaged it at the end of the day? The only one person damaged it, the Bochum. You see that? It was both. Everyone agrees it's onus. But that's only a clause for the Tosfos. When Bud says you're chayav bonus, not so why not chayav?
Because someone was
Boshea.
Because,
and
I
bring
back the same thing, but this is not a case of Isaac. Because Isaac was a case of Gezer. When Reuben took those collars, he was Tomei. So he just gave a gift to the Bachman. They're not going to bring them because those things are belong to Reuven.
Okay, you're saying a technicality. No, I don't want to talk about Shimon this week. I'll talk about Shimon next week. I'll talk about the Bochim. The Bochim be'etzim, are they chayiv according to Ramban or not?
No.
Unless you want to pinpoint it on somebody else.
Yes,
I'm saying,
somebody else.
Without pinpointing on somebody else. Is the Bochim chayiv or not?
No, because of Shia. Either Reuven or the delivery man that was Poshea, which the Ramban says would get them off.
Well, why is Reuven Poshea?
By not giving proper instructions on where to leave it.
Hey, he gave instructions. Leave it outside my door.
We said, like, there's a gamach next door.
Well, he doesn't listen there, Dad. Why is that problem with something?
Or the delivery people are in Poshea, but not putting his name on it.
Yeah, no one puts names on it.
Shimon.
It's an onus, but onus is not what gets out of us. So the Ramban should be chayav, the Shulchan Aruch should be chayav, the Bochrim, without bringing somebody else in. The Bochrim should be chayav.
I don't understand. If you go into a shop, you go into even a bakery, and you buy food in the bakery, and you eat it, and it turns out that the owner of the shop stole the food, you're the one who's chayav?
According to Ramban, you have to give me an explanation why not. According to Ramban, you're chayav for owner's stomach. You're only not going to be fired if the person who got damaged was negligent in that damage. No one's negligent in the damage. They're owner's gomel. Okay, owner's gomel, but it's not released. So, I'll finish off with this. And this is the answer. Aba haidu shuz konakas haniyak lehem avim pora. Number 6. Shu'ula. Koshim shi'i shal avim v'tofu v'ochru. The father had a cow which he borrowed, it wasn't his cow, and then he died suddenly. The relatives didn't realize that cow didn't belong to the father. He thought it belonged to the father, so what do? They shechted the cow and they ate it, but it wasn't the father's. Says the Gemara, Mishalim to me boss of Azul, Shushnei Shish, they only have to pay 2/3. Says the Ramban, but they're Mazik! They should pay, if they're Mazik, even the owners, they should pay the whole lot. Why are they only getting off for 2/3? Says the Ban, why? Ha-ba-ha, Bershus Konochis, the Kosovim Dishalavian Hilo. They had permission to eat it. They had permission to eat it because they thought it belonged to the father. What does that mean? They had permission to it because they thought it belonged to the father. You think about it next week.
It was a reasonable and acceptable assumption.
But the owner's gomel! That's the Ramban himself asked. His owner's gomel, you're still fired! No, they had permission. What does that mean? Think about it next week. Well, concludes.
Something I can't avoid.